Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. In today's study, in the book of Genesis, Pastor Dave will be talking about how there's a big difference between knowing the Lord and knowing of the Lord. God wants a relationship with you. He wants to stick closer to you than even a brother. And in His Word, He states that He will never leave you or forsake you, and that through Him, you can know true peace. Now let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Genesis chapter 28, starting in verse 10. We hope you're blessed.
I'm a gentleman. He says, I am the God of Abraham again, verse 13. The God of Isaac, and the land where you lie, I'm going to give it to you. Not because you deserve it, though. Verse 14, that's my commentary. The Lord doesn't, He's not facetious. He doesn't say these types of things. He said in verse 14, and your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed, remember, talking about the one day to come Messiah, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Hey, we've been blessed in Jesus Christ, amen? I mean, that's how we are saved. That's what we stand here tonight in His grace, because of the seed of Jacob. Now check out verse 15. It's such a rich, power-packed verse. It says this, and now behold, I am with thee. Watch how personal God makes this. And make it to yourself tonight. In fact, you can even put your name there if you'd like to be encouraged. I am with thee, Joe. I am with thee, Mike. I am with thee, Sandy. I am with thee, whoever your name is. I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all the places where you go. He's making this personal. This is not general. This is personal. God is a personal God. He wants to know you. He wants you to know Him personally. He says, and I will bring thee, middle of verse 15, again into this land, and I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Six times He makes it personal in this verse. Thee, thou, you. I'm talking to you. I want you to know me personally. I want you to know me. I don't want to just be heard of. I don't want to just be known about. I want you to know me. When somebody says, what is Jesus like? Can you tell them? What is your Savior like? Can you testify? If I had you stand up tonight, which I'm going to have somebody stand up, so get ready. I'm joking. And all of a sudden, you had to testify to the church. Okay, tell me on the spot. Monica, what is Jesus like? Would you be able, I could pick on you. I know these things. So would you be able to stand up and say, this is what Jesus is like? This is who He is to me. He's real. He's personal. Or what would you do? Give us a theological answer. Well, according to Spurgeon, this is what Jesus is like. The sanctification of the glorification. And give us all these words. No one even knows what you're talking about. How real is Jesus to you? Listen, I'll sit under anybody or listen to anybody who's real and raw about their Savior. I could care less. We could memorize some commentary. What is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? He makes His personal tonight. He says, these are the promises to you, son. Not just your dad. Not just your grandpa. These promises are to you as an individual. These promises are to you. He gives him a fourfold assurance that must have been super precious to Jacob. Number one, the divine presence. I am with thee. Number two, the divine protection. And I will keep thee. Number three, the divine preservation, and I will bring thee again into this land. And number four, the divine promise. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Amen, glory, hallelujah, right? I mean, you see these things. Jesus said this to us, His church. He said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. You feel alone tonight? You feel like you're in a place that's desolate. You feel like, man, God has forsaken me. You are being lied to by Satan. God said, I will never leave you. And I will never, ever forsake you. Your mom might. Your dad might. Your brothers might. Your sisters might. Your kids. Your best friends. Your girlfriend. Your boyfriend. Whoever it might be. They might forsake you. I will never forsake you. I'm going to go through the valleys of the shadow of death with you, and guess what? I'm going to lead you, and my rod and my staff, they're going to comfort you, and I'm going to beat the snot out of anything that comes at you to attack you. I will be your refuge. I will be your defense. Let's see a lion or a bear come at you. I'll destroy that thing for your sake. I've already destroyed Satan, sin, and death so that you can inherit the kingdom of God. What's greater than that? God says, I'm with you tonight. I have your back. You're alone, you're scared, you're afraid, you're in the middle of a wilderness, and you feel like you have no clue where you're going. You're not home anymore. You can't go back home. Somebody wants to kill you. Your life's a mess. You feel helpless. God says, perfect. You're in the place where I now want you to look up. I'm trying to increase your spirituality. Not up here, but in here. I could care less what you know in your head. I want you to know it in your heart. Do you know me? Do you know me? And in knowing me, you'll find peace. Peace that the world doesn't know. Rest that the world doesn't know, but you're going to know it because you're going to know me. Man. Should we end there? Verse 16. Yeah, I would wake up at this point now too. Jacob awoke. I mean, if that doesn't wake you up, I'm a sound sleeper. It takes a lot to wake me up, but if this doesn't wake you up, I don't know what's going to wake you up. Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Duh. And he says, and I knew it not. God's in this place, and I didn't even know it. Church, because of time, we can't do it on your own. Read Psalm 139. You want to be blown away? God's everywhere. You can't hide under your covers tonight. You can't go hide in the downtown streets of Rochester. You can't go in some valley and hide from God. You can't go anywhere and hide from God. You can't go in your shower when you get home and shut the curtain thing and shut your doors and shut the lights off and unplug all those night lights and hide from God. You can't hide from God. God is everywhere. David said, if I make my bed in hell, talking about Sheol, which is the grave, you are there. If I'm in the middle of the sea, the middle of the ocean, you are there. If an eagle was to take me up and I was flying in the heavens, Lord, you are there. Where can I escape from your presence? There's nowhere I can go. And no doubt there's nowhere I want to go, really, to escape the presence of God. Had I known that you were there, would to God that we would practice his presence. Can you imagine how much trouble that would keep us out of if we recognize that he went everywhere with us? It's the truth of the matter. We just aren't always practicing his presence the way that he'd desire us to. I had no clue you were here, God. And in verse 17, we get commentary. He was afraid. He said, how dreadful is this place? He was in awe. It's this word in the Hebrew depicts a picture of him being in awe of reverence. Man, where am I right now? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven, verse 18. And so he rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel, which means the house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. He says, man, I had no clue I was at the gate of heaven. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And yet we don't even realize sometimes, Lord, I'm at the gate of heaven. But it's funny here because what Jacob's doing, again, we don't do these types of things. I know that. But what Jacob's doing is he's kind of localizing God's presence. The gate to heaven, the stairway to heaven. Man, Lord, I had no clue you were here. And he was localizing it like, man, there's some special place. And maybe that's what you do. You think that in order to be in the presence of God and experience God like perhaps you are tonight, I got to come to church or I got to come to communion service. Man, nothing rocks my world like communion service. Or I got to go on a retreat. And you moms, you want to go on like a 3-4 week retreat. You don't even want to come back to us. We know. You want there to be like 3 or 4 retreats a year. And you're going to go to all of them. and you think that's where I'm going to experience the presence of God, or, you know, there's some situation or spot that you're going to go to, and that's where you experience the presence of God, and you begin to localize it. I remember one time we had this guy going here years ago. He was really troubled, really sickly, and he would come here. He used to be Catholic, and then he got saved. He became a Christian, had a real relationship with Jesus Christ, and he would come here, and he would think that the only place he could pray was in here. So he'd come in here during the week. Hey, Pastor Dave, can I go in the sanctuary and pray? Yeah, sure, man. Go ahead. You don't have to go in there, but if you'd like. No, I got to. I got to get in there. And I'd come in, and he'd be on his knees praying, and this was like his spot. So one day, after Bible study, I taught that night. I'm going to the bathroom. All of you are still in here worshiping. I snuck out like I always do to go to the bathroom, and I walk in the bathroom in the men's room, and there's that half wall. And I'm rounding the wall just thinking about things. I turn and, oh my goodness, there he is like this on his knees right in front of the urinal praying. And I thought, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm at church and I had to get one last prayer in before I sneak out of here. I thought, right there? I mean, you know, you're right in the way. Can you move? Pray to God later, man. I got to go. And he thought that there's this like superstitious thinking that this is the spot. This is this place, but he didn't realize, like we don't so many times, that it's a portable stairway, that God travels with us. Listen, I'm here all week long, and I can tell you this, place isn't like this when you're not here. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's somewhat like this because I'm here still, and some of us other folks are here, so we get God because we're here, but it isn't like this. That this special, whatever it is that we have when we're together, how good and how pleasant it is, the unity of the brethren, it's because God is here. This is Bethel. God is in the house. You get what I'm saying? But when you leave, he doesn't stay here and wait for you to come back Sunday. He goes with you. It's a portable stairway. He follows you. Maybe you're still not getting this. Let me help you out here. Jesus gives us commentary. If you want, you can come with me. If you don't, jot these verses down and I'll read them to you. John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. Let me read these to you. A story about Jesus. He gives us commentary on what the stairway is, if you haven't already figured it out. John chapter 1, verse 43 through 51. It says this, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, come and follow me. And Philip was from Bethsaida, verse 44, Andrew and Peter's hometown. And so in verse 45, Philip went to look for Nathanael, and he told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. And this is what he exclaims in verse 46. Nazareth, Nathanael said, can anything good come from Spencerport? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. And in verse 47, as they approached, Jesus said, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. Verse 48, how do you know about me? Nathanael asked. Isn't it funny how Jesus works? Maybe you're here tonight and there's things being said and you're like, man, how does he know this about me? What do they got, cameras? People follow me out of this parking lot? How does he know about me? That's how much Jesus loves you. I have no clue about you. He does. And through his spirit, his word is alive and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's why I get so stoked to preach it, because I know this. I've experienced it. I sit in the morning, I just get slapped around all morning long. My head goes back and forth because I experience the power of the Word of God. And you come here, how do you know? How do you know me, Lord? And sometimes it even makes you mad, doesn't it? You want to know, like, how do you know this? He's God. He knows everything. He replies, he says, I could see you, middle of verse 48, under that fig tree before Philip found you, before anybody even came to get you to tell you about me, I was already looking at you. Then Nathanael exclaimed, verse 49, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Tell me more about me. Don't we love to hear about me? Tell me more, Lord. All right. You're God. I don't need to see anything else. Who cares if you raise from the dead? You're a rabbi. You are Jesus Christ. You know stuff about me. Everything's about me, me, me. You know about me. And Jesus asked him, verse 50, do you believe this just because I told you I'd seen you under the fig tree? You're going to see greater things than this, man. He says, then he said unto him, I tell you the truth, verse 51. You will also see heaven open. Check it out. And the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man. On the Son of Man. What is Jacob's ladder, folks? The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the bridge that connects us to God. Beautiful picture. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, and the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. You see how they go hand in hand? Jesus gives us the answer. What is the big deal about Jacob's ladder? It's Jesus Christ. I'm the connecting piece, Jacob. I am the connecting piece, Nathaniel. You are going to see angels going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. Isn't that awesome? That Jesus is the stairway between heaven and earth. He is our divine ladder. He is first our revelation, and then he is our source of communication with heaven. And remember that the Christian's perfection isn't based on performance, but the perfection of a relationship with who? Come on, it's easy. Jesus. He is the stairway. Listen, Jacob. I know what's going on in your mind right now. You're thinking, how do you stand a shot? You're wondering, are you even going to inherit that birthright? Are you even going to receive that blessing? And maybe that's you tonight. You're wondering, man, God, are you done with me? Are you even going to do anything in my life? Or am I washed up? Am I on the shelf? Am I no good? Listen, if you're concerned about it, that's a great sign to you that you're not. Because the only time that you are no longer usable and able to be restored by the Lord is when you are reprobate. Every other sin, I don't care how nasty, raunchy, perverted, or dirty it is, God says, I will heal you, and my blood is sufficient. My stripes will make you whole. I'll do anything through anybody that comes to me and gets on their face and pleads the blood of my Son. The only time I can't restore somebody or fix somebody is when they won't come to me. And you think tonight, man, but what's the stairway? What's the connection? How am I supposed to, Lord? Here I am on earth in the lowest state. I'm before you, God, on my knees. There's nothing left. I'm as low as I can go. You might be here tonight, and that might be you. You're so abased right now that you can't even fathom how you and God, who's so big and high, are going to connect. And he reminds you tonight that it has nothing to do with you. Jacob was in the worst spot so far in his life. Lying to his dad, lying to everybody, and God shows up on the scene and gives him a divine revelation specifically for him, reinforces the promises, introduces himself, and initiates the relationship. My goodness. Jesus does the same thing with you and myself. He says, here's the answer. It's me. I'm the stairway. Your relationship with heaven, your relationship with the Father is through me. There is no other way. Remember that, Christian. Remember that, church. Put on your helmet of salvation and stop believing the lies of the enemy. You're condemned. You're beat up. What did Jesus say? Agree with your adversary quickly. Who cares? It's true. Plead the blood and move on. Keep going for Jesus Christ. Amen? Keep going. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't put this trip on yourself like you're failing, like you blew it. He already knew. He loves failures. He loves mess-ups because in them, in you, in me, he's glorified. He's glorified. Jacob, I am the stairway. Church, I'm the stairway, Jesus would say. I'm the bridge connecting the gap. That's where Lloyd Poy got this from. He stole it from this text here in Genesis. That I'm the bridge connecting the gap between man and God. And it's not Jacob. Just this certain place. It's everywhere. It's the portable ladder. You get what I'm saying? It's the portable stairway. It's not just this church. You can have as much of Jesus as you want. You don't have to wait for refuel. You know, I don't need to do one of these services every night. I'm not going to do one of these services every night. My wife will divorce me. I can't do that. You can have as much of Jesus as you want. You can have this tomorrow morning. You can have this tomorrow evening. You can have this tomorrow on lunch. You can have this on Friday night. You guys that are young people here, 18 and up, that's really kind of a broad age group, but 18 to whatever, you guys can have Jesus on Friday nights. Daniel does a Bible study, anointed Bible teacher. You can go sit under him. On Saturday, you can have as much of Jesus as you want. You get together with the saints. Get each other's numbers. Stop being so shy. Talk to each other. Get each other's numbers, Facebook each other, text each other, get in touch and hang out. Forget your friends of the world. They're not your friends. They're acquaintances. Move forward with those who love Jesus. Come here on Sunday morning. Come on Monday nights to prayer. Be here as much as possible. Be with Jesus as much as possible. This is a portable staircase. I'll travel with you guys, Jesus says. I'm going everywhere you go, and I'll be wherever you'll take me because I want to be with you. I want to be your very best friend. I will never leave you or forsake you. Doesn't have to be just this place. You can have as much of your king as you want. So Jacob vowed a vow, wrapping it up in verse 20. All right, God, let's make a deal. If God will be with me, if God will keep me in this way that I go, and if God will give me bread to eat, a man after my own heart, and raiment to put on, so that I can come again to my father's house, verse 21, in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Such a deal. Thanks, Jacob. You know, wow, thank you that I could be your God if I do these things. And that could be so many of our approach. Lord, if you heal my child, if you fix my marriage, if you allow me to make it through the layoff, Lord, if I pass my math test tomorrow, then I'll seriously get serious about you. How many times have we prayed prayers like that before? Come on, don't shake your heads. You know you've prayed those things. Lord, if you give me the power to preach a powerful message tonight, I'll be yours. Can't get up in the morning, Lord. I watched the World Series tonight. Sorry. Right? But Lord, if you do these things for me, God, and man, look at Jacob still trying to connive and manipulate. If you do these things, Lord, I'll really get serious about you. And here's the funny thing. He wasn't really serious yet, was he? He still hasn't wrestled with the Lord. He still hasn't become Israel, governed by God. And God knew it. God knew it. There's no surprises with God. He wasn't, oh my goodness, you know, I can't believe Jacob told me back in chapter 28 he was going to be serious, and then he flip-flopped. I don't know what happened. I thought he was serious that time. How many times have you played games with God? You've come to God because you thought he was a genie in a bottle. That's it. And you were wondering what he could do for you. And then after he did what he shouldn't have done because you didn't deserve it, the grace and mercy is, you went right back to your old ways. And then he did it again and again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. That's why the scripture says, though a man falls seven times, please, that's in an hour, right? Get back up, man, and look to the Lord. He knew your depravity. He pities you, the psalmist says, knowing that you are just dust.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.